Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, AM 1400, or streaming live over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, then you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's 805-639-0008. Every one of our shows has a theme, and today's theme is helping others to be your best. And I'm joined in the studio by my friend and colleague, Freeman Michaels. This is right in your wheelhouse, Freeman.
Yeah, boy, it is. Thanks thanks for having me, Dan. I'm so thrilled. What great guests you have. I'm really excited to talk to both your guests today.
Oh, well, great. Thanks. And we're glad to have you here. If anybody wants to call in, by all means, call us at 639-0008. Let's get right into it, shall we, Freeman? My first guest has developed a system to motivate young people to want to behave responsibly and to be motivated to learn. His approach relies on internal motivation rather than external manipulation by using rewards such as coercion, threats, and punishments. He believes that internal motivation is more effective in changing behavior than external approach. Dr. Marvin Marshall is an American educator, writer, a lecturer. He's widely known for his program on discipline and learning. His landmark book is titled Discipline Without Stress, Punishments, or Rewards. I kind of like that title. His approach stems from his acquired knowledge as a youth parent, as a recreational director, camp counselor, classroom teacher, middle school and high school teacher, counselor. I mean, his credentials go on and on and on. They're as long as my arm. He's presented to government agencies, universities, associations, school districts, and he's presented to schools in 44 of the 50 states. He's also presented in 16 countries on 5 different continents. He has a worldwide audience of over 15,000 and subscribers to his free monthly newsletter promoting responsibility and learning. Welcome to the show, Marvin. How are you?
Marv is just fine, Billy. And are we talking with Billy or Freeman?
Yeah, well, actually, this is Billy, and Freeman is here with us as well.
I'm here,
well,
Marv.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Let me just mention something that perhaps can kick off the philosophy that I have.
All right, what is that?
Each time you force a child to do something by using the adult power of authority, you are denying that an opportunity for the person to learn self-discipline and become more responsible. Every time you impose something, you are depriving the young person of a learning experience.
Ooh, that's very profound. So let's dig in with that, shall we? I mean, let's just dive right in. Why is it that we have to rely on parental authority, adult authority, to get children to do things that we want them to do?
You really do not have to. We've done this through the ages, and as a result, we assume that today's kids are just like former generations, and we've got to use the same approaches. You talk to any teenager, any parent of a teenager, and really you can talk to any parent today, and they will share with you their thinking, which is today's kids are different. There are a number of reasons for this, but the point is, you try to use coercion and you tell kids what to do today, and too often you meet with resistance and defiance and outside rebellion.
Now, wait a minute, Marv. Let me just challenge that just a little bit, because parents who had children growing up in the 60s said, kids are different today. You know, they're more rebellious. They're out there. They've been watching that James Dean. They've been listening to that Elvis Presley, and they're just rebelling. I mean, how is it any different today than it was then?
The difference is that their kids are exposed to so many things today that previous generations were not. In the past, you could punish kids, and I'm not against all punishments. I'm just saying that there is a much better approach. what happens is when you try to coerce a youngster today because of the independence that they have, you run into problems. My belief, strong belief, and I can prove this, is that the real problem is that young people obey, and this as they should. They learn from adults. But when the kid gets to be an age where he can overpower, so to speak, his parent, or where the youngster feels enough independence to resist the parental authority of obedience, you run into a power struggle. If you remove that power element, you do not have the problem that so many parents have. The problem is not on the kids, it's the way the parent relates to the kid.
All right. Well, let's get into it. You have a hierarchy of learning towards responsible behavior. It starts out with anarchy, which some parents are living in right now. Then it moves to bullying or annoying, conformity, and finally democracy. Break that down for us. What do you mean by each of those steps, and how do we get to the higher levels in your hierarchy?
Okay. They are levels of social development. Obviously, I am not teaching anarchy. But at the lowest level, when there is chaos, and you can look at places around the world, and as you mentioned, in some homes, unfortunately, there is chaos, what happens is someone is going to take the leadership role. That happens all throughout history. Through charisma or power or force or leadership, someone becomes the leader or the bully. That person then starts to make the rules. So we've gone from level A, where there's anarchy, to someone is going to take authority and start making the rules. That person becomes the bully. Now, both bullying and anarchy are unacceptable levels of a social society.
Hey, Marv, this is Freeman here. So is this the idea of it's kind of a dominance and submission type of power? Is that the kind of thing we're talking about?
No, the idea is just to have young people understand levels of social development.
Got it.
The bottom two are unacceptable. When everybody conforms, then what happens is you have a civil society. We are expected to obey parents. We are expected to obey traffic rules. However, peer influence is so dominant and prominent with some kids that they conform to a peer pressure that is unspoken. Let me give you an example. Some kids, let's say Group A smoke, and John, let's say, wants to join the Group A. What's okay. The easiest way for John to join Group A, to be like them?
Right, to smoke.
All right, so he starts to smoke. No one from Group A goes up to John and says, John, you want to join us? Here's a cigarette, smoke it. It doesn't work that way. That's external motivation. John is doing something because of the influence of other people. Most of us live our lives this way, but on occasion, especially with young people, instead of just conforming, you want to do the right thing to do. If John understands the levels of social development, he understands that this is level C is external motivation.
All right.
We want to do what is the right thing to do. That takes us to level D, and I term it democracy, because you cannot have a civil society without people taking responsibility to do the right thing.
Right.
Now, very quickly, once I explain the levels, the moniker, so to speak, the titles, I never refer to anarchy or bullying. I just refer to A, B, C, or D. Now, there's always choice that's built in. A and B are unacceptable, B and C and D are. The objective is to get to level D. Now, can I continue on this to make this point clear?
Sure, but let me just say that we're talking to Dr. Marv Marshall, everybody, whose book is Discipline Without Stress, Punishment, or Rewards. Go ahead and expand on that, Marv.
Okay. By way of example, in a classroom setting, there's a desk that's on its side, and the teacher asks the youngsters to pick up the chair, and that's the proper thing to do. When I ask adults in my seminars how they feel, because there's always a feeling associated with anything that we do, they say, well, okay, or I didn't do it, I didn't turn it over. So I have the exact same role play. You're a student in my class. The chair is on its side. You're the first person in my classroom to come in. I don't even see you come in because I'm writing on the whiteboard or the chalkboard. You mm-hmm. see the chair is on its side, and you pick it up and put it under the desk. How do you feel? And universally, they say, good, responsible. They get a feeling of success. That's level D. You will never get that feeling from level C, obedience. You get it from level D, doing the right thing, because you know it's the right thing to do without anybody giving you a reward, without any external thing at all. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do. The result, you feel good about it. And the fact of life is that the human body operates as follows. We take things into our body through our senses, what we see, what we hear, what we touch. That immediately goes into an area of the body that touches an emotion. For example, if I compliment you, mm-hmm. you feel good.
Right.
If I criticize you, you feel bad. First comes the cognition, then comes the emotion. And so the point is, if you want youngsters to be responsible to do the right thing, it's not by giving them something external. It's the feeling that they get. That is what builds success. That's what builds self-esteem, not from giving kids a reward for just participating in a game.
Well said. We're talking to Dr. Marv Marshall, everybody, whose book is Discipline Without Stress, Punishment, or Rewards. I like what you say about internal motivation. We've got to take a short break, Marv, but when we come back, fundamental in your system are positivity, choice, and reflection. And don't answer this right now, but when we come back, explain to us what you mean by those three things and how we can instill those in our children. We'll be right back after this short break.
There's nothing you can do to turn me away.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What? Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Everybody knows that our shows have a theme. Today's theme is helping others to be their best. I'm joined in the studio today by my friend and colleague, Freeman Michaels, who is the host of the Freeman Michaels Show that comes on at 9 o'clock every day here on, every weekday here on KKZZ Radio. And our special guest is Dr. Marv Marshall, who's written the book Discipline Without Stress, Punishment, or Rewards. And Marv, before we went to break, I asked you to think about and come back and answer for us. The fundamental part of your system is teaching positivity, teaching choice, and reflection. Would you expand on that a little bit and then give us some examples of cases where you've had children that have used this system successfully?
My pleasure. Let me first, if I may, mention my newest book, Parenting Without Stress, How to Raise Responsible Kids While Keeping a Life of Your Own. And that book was written because so many people of my 16,000 subscribers to my free newsletter said, would you please write a book using your approach specifically for parents?
I love it. I love it. And where can they get the book, Marv?
The easiest way is to go to parentingwithoutstress.com, www.parentingwithoutstress.com.
All right, good, good. Now, back to the question, right. Positivity, choice, and reflection.
Right. Let me start off by giving you the philosophy of what both books are about, the discipline book and the parenting book. The first paragraph starts out as follows. Life is a conversation. Interestingly, the most influential person we talk with all day is ourself. Mm. And what we tell ourselves has a direct bearing on our behavior, our performance, and our influence on others. In fact, a good case can be made that our self-talk creates our reality.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. This is Freeman, Marv.
I beg your pardon?
I said I agree with that 100%. That's a big part of the things that we talk about on my show, and something that I personally believe in, is that the ideas in our head about who we are then is the way in which we perceive the world. In other words, we're looking out from a certain
exactly.
vantage point, right?
Exactly. So you think, for example, of fear. That's all self-talk. Anxiety, that's all self-talk. Mm. Well, how do you get positive self-talk?
That's
the
key.
The answer is these three universal practices. The first one is positivity. Now, the simple fact is of life is that people do better when they feel better. not when they feel bad. So, for example, if a parent yells at a kid or tells a kid what to do, the person immediately has a negative reaction. Now, you can prove this to yourself. I'll start a sentence, Billy, and then you please finish it, okay?
All right, let's do it.
If I've told you once, I've told you
1,000 times.
There you go. Now, if telling worked, you would not have to repeat yourself, and people would do exactly what you say. But you see, it has a negative connotation.
Sure.
We're going to talk about a better way to tell later on when we talk about reflection.
Okay.
But the point here is that when you hear something, anybody hears something, it immediately pops up an emotion. So, for example, let's assume your supervisor says, before you leave today, stop by my office.
All of a sudden, you're filled with dread.
Yeah, that's right. Now, it doesn't have to be, because your self-talk can be, instead of, I have to see my boss, you could be, I get to see my boss.
Okay.
We normally all so often go into a negative self-thinking approach, but it doesn't have to be. If you decide to think in a positive way, like I get to see my boss, your emotions immediately have changed and you can enjoy your day. The point, as I've mentioned, is people do better when they feel better. So it starts with your own self-talk.
Okay.
Do you talk to yourself in a negative way? Because if you do, chances are that's how you're going to talk to other people.
Now, how do we guide our children to talk to themselves in a more positive, constructive manner?
That goes to the third practice, but let me go to the second practice choice.
All right.
So the first practice is positivity. People talk about it as attitude. Well, what does attitude mean? To me, it means if you're going to be effective, because both books are entirely not what has to be done, as the most books do, it's how do you do it. So the first, again, is positivity. Second practice, choice. People always have a choice as to their response. Now, one of the things that the book clearly talks about is choice-response thinking. That regardless of the situation, regardless of the stimulus, regardless of the urge, a person always has a choice of how the person responds.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a parent will tell a youngster to do something and the kid doesn't do it. The youngster has made a choice. Now, once the parent or the teacher realizes that the kid has a choice, the most effective way to influence the person is to put the choice right on the table.
All right. How so?
And with the youngster, whose example is who we call oppositional defiant, we used to call passive aggressive, you give three choices, because what that does, it removes all coercion. The whole approach, and the reason why this approach is so effective, it is absolutely, totally non-coercive. It's not permissive, it's just non-coercive.
All right, let's get more practical on that. Let's have some picks and shovels in the hands of our parents that are out there. How would you give three choices to a child? Let's say the child doesn't want to eat its food or eat its dinner.
Good. The very first thing I would say is, you want to, let's assume he's not eating his vegetable.
Okay.
First question, do you want to eat the peas first or the carrots first? Or would you like to have them before the dessert? That's the third choice.
All right, so eat your peas first, eat your carrots first, or
I'm giving you the choice.
Have them before dessert. All right, and that helps the child to decide, that helps the child to frame choosing.
It reduces stress on the part of the parent because the kid has got ownership. The trick behind changing behavior is the youngster's got to own it. And if the parent tells the kid is the victim. He doesn't own it. That's why empowering and eliciting, we'll get to later on, is so much more effective than overpowering, telling, or punishing.
All right. Okay, that makes sense. That's choice number three. Freeman, you got a question?
Well, the only thing I'm wondering about is there a way to do you ever enlist kids to come up with their own choices?
Oh,
in other
absolutely.
Words, yeah, that they come up with options, right? So you don't want that. What do you suggest would be appropriate, and then let them come up with some ideas of what might be an appropriate solution?
That's beautiful. That can always be the third choice. Great, Freeman. Absolutely.
All right, good. Now, in your system, the third pillar of your system, there's positivity, there's choice, and then there's reflection.
Right.
What is reflection?
Reflection is of all the things that I'm sharing, the only thing that the parent or the teacher, the adult needs to learn is learning how to ask reflective questions. Now, the fact of the matter is that you can control a person, but you cannot change another person.
Okay.
Now, again, a parent can control a kid, but a parent cannot change a kid. And so the way to influence the person to change is by having the person reflect. And you do it starting out by asking reflective questions. Now, so often, an adult will say, why are you doing that?
Right.
And the kid says, I don't know. That's a pothole question. The kid does not know. You can ask any adult what their motivation is, and oftentimes they will have a hard time articulating it. And even if they could, they may not want to. So you ask questions which will prompt the person to reflect, such as, what would a responsible person do in this situation? Or what would an extraordinary person do in this situation? Well, everybody wants to be extraordinary. If you couldn't fail, what would you do? The books list a series of different questions for different purposes. Now, you're not going to memorize them all, but once you get in the habit of asking a reflective question, it is amazing how effective it is. Let me give you a quick example with a four-year-old.
All right.
I was on an airplane. I got to know his name, TJ. His mother was sitting by the window. TJ was in the middle, and I was by the aisle. And the mother was telling me some of the problems she's having. She was going through a divorce, etc. During the course of the flight, now this happened a few years ago, TJ reached to the back of the seat in front and pulled out the GTE telephone.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what was going to come out of my mouth. But because I've practiced these principles, I knew it would be positive. I knew it would give him a choice. And I knew it would prompt him to reflect. And I leaned over and I said, TJ, what happens if you break that? He immediately put it back. And my guess is if his mother would have told him to put it back, she would have had a challenge on her hand.
So it would have been a confrontational thing.
Absolutely.
It would have been overpowering versus empowering.
Absolutely.
We're talking to Dr. Marv Marshall, everybody. He's written the book, Discipline Without Stress, Punishment or Rewards. Marv, the time just flies by. If somebody is interested in learning more and wants to develop more of the skills that you teach, where would you send them?
I would first go to marvinmarshall.com. That's my basic homepage, www.marvinmarshall.com. And on there you will see an icon of both the education book and the parenting book. On the left side, on the menu, there's a place where you can sign up for my free monthly newsletter, Promoting Responsibility and Learning, where every month I put an article on how you can become more effective, how you can improve relationships, parenting, etc.
And now you're up to 16,000 subscribers on your newsletter already, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Marv, we've only got about a minute left. So you're talking to thousands of people here in Ventura County. If you could give them just one piece of parental advice, what would you tell them to help raise more responsible children?
Stop telling and sharing. Start asking questions. Anytime you say you're going to say something to your youngster, if you believe it, the kid is going to perceive it in a negative way, turn it around, and state it in a positive way. And that's easy to do once you get into the habit of it.
And all of that is described in your book, which is titled Discipline Without Stress, Punishment or Rewards. Marv, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being our guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Marv.
Thank you, Freeman.